up to. And yesterday, we really were in the middle. We didn't really finish this pasuk. This pasuk over here, the pasuk. Let me just read the pasuk again. Again, page 176, Perek Yotes, pasuk Yud Dalet. Gam Mizedim Chasoy Chavdecha. David here is praying to Hashem. The word chasoy means to withhold, to remove. It's an unusual usage of the word chasoy in the Mitzudos. You save money. Yeah, that's how it's used. Money to save money. To save. Interesting. It's to save chasoy chavdecha. There is no Mitzudos tzia, but the Mitzudos David. How does he translate this word? Al yom shluvi ke'oz lebihi lepasuk gam mizid gam me'asoy sarah b'mezid mina withhold. Okay, withhold. It's not exactly the save. It's similar. Chasech is to withhold your servant. Hold me back. Chasech. I don't really know what the etymology of this word chasech is. Choshech. The word really is the word choshech. And choshech over here is being used in the way of to choshech is darkness. Here means take me out of the darkness. So maybe this just follows the principle that we've been saying only a thousand times, that you take a word and you manipulate its vowels, you can go 180 degrees. Right. So choshech is darkness. When you manipulate the vowels, chasoich, it's take away the darkness. Take away the darkness, remove me from the darkness. That's the only thing I can think of. Because they don't really explain it on the page, the etymology of the word here, of chasoich. There's no malbum on the Perush HaMilos, and the Mitzudos seem as silent. And the other commentary, okay, there is over here, let's see, the Radak, the Oid, Ani Mevakesh Mecha She'ela, G'doyla, Yoyis Vimash HaShalti, Shetimna, to prevent me. Same exact thing what it says in the Mitzudos stuff is what the Radak says. Radak is obviously, the Radak is very, very serious player here. You don't ignore the Radak. The Radak, he wrote the book. his.
I'm just thinking, Maya did this. You have Chasoch
Avdecha. Oh, you're right. That's right. That's where. Yeah. So it's taken from over here.
Right.
From David. Is to withhold. Okay. It's definitely unusual. This is not your typical word. They took it from the story over here. Chasoch Avdecha, and that is how basically all the commentators over here explain this word. Next. Now we go further than that. We didn't really explain this part of the pasuk is that when you do oz den esam. Esam is also an unusual word. How often do you have this word in Tanakh? Esam. Esam, everyone seems to say it's I'll be perfect. I will achieve a state of tanimus, of tam. Tam v'nishlan. Tam is a very common. What does the word tam mean? Tam means wholesomeness. Tamim tihye im Hashem alokach. We had in this mizmar. Is this Torah Hashem tanima? What does that mean? It's pure, it's wholesome, it's perfect, it's complete, there's no blemish. These are very hard words to really define, but David over here is saying, I will be tam. That's how it's translated in the Mitzudos Tzion, in the Mitzudos, look at the Malm on this page 176, in the bottom, the Malm on the Be'ur HaMilos. Oz Esam Eye Tomim, the Mitzudos Miloshen Tom Vishalem. The Mitzudos David, Oziyeh Tamim, I will be complete. Ki al Hashagiyos Techaper. Okay, that we did it yesterday. Okay, Vini Kesi. Now David is being Mavakesh. Vini Kesi. David is making a request. Please, Hashem, cleanse me. Make me Naki clean. Mi Pesha Rav from a very great evil. And as we learned yesterday.
Rabbi Levine?
Rabbi Kalman is saying something.
What kind of tam is there?
Oh.
He asks mazot. So, like as if he takes the whole package. Not door, cooking, shpatim, and this. No. What all this?
The answer we give in the Haggadah, we give the answer is I'm getting confused now. You're right. The word the Tam of the Haggadah is an extremely complicated person. Who is the Tam? Who is the Tam? Well, the real Tam, please stand up. is the Tam? It's a very complicated. The Tam indeed is a very mazos. what is this question? What is his personality? What is his potential? Who exactly, what is the, put your finger on. You look at all of the Haggadahs, every one of the commentators has a very hard time with the time. They have time with all the Arba
Bani. Using the word potential is a very good word because you don't know where he is or what.
Okay, obviously the Yaakov Ishtam. Yoshev Oyolim. So many of the commentators, they right away jump and say, oh, don't use that as an example, because that is a term, Ishtam. There's a fundamental difference between an Ishtam and a Ben Tam. In the Haggadah, Keneged Arba'o Bonim, a Ben is a child. It's someone that's not yet ripe. He's still developing. Yaakov was an Ish. He was an adult, a mature adult, a finished product. He's called an Ishtam. Yaakov was a child at that point in time. Yaakov, how old was Yaakov when it says Yaakov Ishtam, Yosheva Holim? Esav was Ish Tzahid, Yodea Sodeh. And Yaakov was an Ishtam, Yosheva Holim. But we're dealing there when they were children. They were children at that point in time. And yet we're calling them, yet it's been called an Ish. That same Ishtam that we define, that the age of Ishtam of Yaakovinu in the Torah is the child at the Haggadah, and him we're not calling him Ish, we're calling him a Ben Tam.
Well, okay. When you're juxtaposing him with Esav, that's the point in the Chumash there. At that point, the lead into the story is they were 15, supposedly.
So you, right? So you just said something explosive, what you just said. Yeah. You said an explosive, because that is by the Haggadah. You cannot, each of the four children in the Haggadah cannot be judged individually. It's because they're part of a group of this She'eino Yodea Lishon, this Chacham Rasha. What would happen if you would have taken away from the equation the Rasha? And all you would have in the family would be the Tam and the Chacham and the Eino Yodea Lishon. Would you still call these three children by these terms?
Right.
Or would their development have gone in a different path? You cannot ignore the fact that the other three have been influenced by the Rasha. If you take away the Chacham, in other words, the dynamic, the reason why these four children are given these titles is only because they have been influenced by the other ones. And if you were to, if the family would have grown up differently, where there would not have been one of these brothers or two of these brothers, and you'd come to the Seder, the one that we're now calling the Chacham, if he would not have a brother who's a Rasha, who says the Baal Haggadah would call him today a Chacham?
Right.
Maybe he would be called a Tzaddik. Maybe because of the Hashpa of the Rasha, he's been downgraded from a Tzaddik to a Chacham. I mean, all of this is, you know, you can play with this, you can say a Tzaddik and a Chacham have nothing to do with each other. Chacham represents his mental abilities, his intellect. His cognitive abilities. Who says we're dealing with their free choice, their free will? We're not up to that. They're not yet bar mitzvah. We're not holding them accountable. But you said something very fascinating, is that at the Haggadah, you don't just have four independent, hermetically sealed, in plastic. They have nothing to do with one another. These four children are integrated. They are what they are because of their environment. In the Chacham has been growing up together with the other child that we're calling now the Rasha. The She'eino Yodea Lishon is maybe the reason why he is a She'eino Yodea Lishon, because he is overwhelmed by his surrounding, because there's a Rasha and there's a Chacham, and he's a weak-minded person, he's conflicted, and he's just overwhelmed, and he's shut down. What would have been if there would not have been a She'eino, a Chacham and a Rasha? He would have grown up in a simple home. Maybe he would have blossomed like, and you would never call him at this moment a She'eino Yodea Lishon. He's been bullied. He's been bullied by the other two, so he's been squashed.
Right.
We can see here a great She'elot, the length of the She'elot. The She'elah shel HaChacham is the longest one. מה העדות והחוקים המשפטיים אשר ציווה השם אלוקינו אתכם? הרשע, מה העבודה הזאת לכם? Four words. Tam, two words. מה זאת?
Fascinating.
שאני לא יודע לשאול, nothing.
Fascinating.
Zero. So it means that the
very interesting.
The questions.
Isn't that a great idea?
The connection here is ask questions.
So
then you learn.
Very good.
What you're saying is, what I would complete the thought is what the in context of what we were just talking about, Yaakovish Tom. What is the Tom? The question is, why do we juxtapose the Russia with the Chacham? It should be Russia Tzadik. All right? So the fact that it doesn't say a tzaddik, because the eco part of the Seder is, you know, Kadesh Yishalu, you want to ask
cognitive ability.
So a tzaddik doesn't use the word tzaddik, because a tam is the tzaddik. Because the tzaddik, you know why we don't mention the tzaddik in the Russia? A tzaddik doesn't ask the questions. You know why? Because you tell him what to do, he's just going to do it. Because you told him to do it. He has a moon of totally, and he's just going to do it. But what we want to generate at the Seder is somebody who asks questions. So we're saying the Chacham, he's going to do it. It's Nasev and Ishma. He will do it, but he wants to know, he would like to know, Taimei HaMitzvos. So him, the answer is, you know, when he says, you know, what is it, Mazos? So he's saying, you know, Eimaftir Nachapes Achachikom, and he wants to understand that, you know, this is why you do this mitzvah, you don't eat after the Pesach, you do this, you do that, and then you learn the Taimei HaMitzvos. So when it says Yaakov Ish Tom, he is a tzaddik, and the Tom is sort of like the tzaddik. He's not saying anything because he doesn't need to ask. He's just going to do it without knowing anything. He's just going to do it anyhow.
But it's not,
he has the belief system that I believe, you know, you tell me to do it, I'll do it.
The question is not who are they, but what they say.
Right.
What they, right. Yeah, they're
that's what that's
their cognitive abilities.
The Lemude Nisan makes a point to say, what is the importance of Moab Vodas Oslochem? He says, I'm the same Jew, I believe 100% in God. I have total faith and belief in God. The problem is, so but then Moab Vodas also. I don't have to. What difference does it make if I eat the Pesach or the Matzah or the Morah? It's not going to change me. I'm a total believer. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, same as you. But I don't eat all this. I don't put on tefillin every day. I don't have to. I don't have to do all this. So that's what you want to tell them. You that's part of what you do, is doing all the mitzvah. You have to do the mitzvah.
Look at the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra on page 177. V'tam oz esam. V'tam means is the translation of the word oz esam. Oz eheye tam. V'hi mila zora. This is a very strange word. What?
Esam is a strange word?
No, a tam. It's a combination.
Esam. It's a mila zora v'yatam ki lo yuchal l'shma ha-mitzvah oz im yimshlu v'zedim ki yachri chuhu. When you release me from my enemies, specifically from the Yetzer Hara, I will then be a free man. I'll be able to observe your mitzvahs. The Ibn Ezra acknowledges this word is unusual. It's not a word that seems to fit into the rules of grammar. If the word here really is, the root of the word is tam, I will then be complete. I will not be under the influence of evil people, of the Zedim. I'll be spared from the Shkagos, the Nistaros. Then I will be a complete person, whatever that means. But to take the word Tam and add an Aleph and a Yud and use it in this form, we have to acknowledge there's something that there's something more that we're not aware about. There's something deeper here. It's a Mila. I like what he says. It's a Vihi. He doesn't say this to Ibn Ezra too often, something like this. He has a lot of very strange things, Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra, all the Mefarshim.
He says, "Ve'en lo chaver b'Torah," or something.
Vihi, well, Rashi says that. Rashi used that lashon. But Ibn Ezra says, "Vihi mila zora." This is a very unusual word. You don't have a nusach like this in the Mefarshim, especially Ibn Ezra, too often. And at least we have acknowledged the unusual nature of this word. Okay, let's go further. I'll be cleansed. The mikes mi pesharov. Now I gotta tell you, yes.
Yeah, I want to add a point of information on the word chasoch. So, since I'm home, I had the concordance. There's quite a few examples of them. For example, below chasach mi many me'uma, or below chasach es b'kha es yechid.
Oh, the Akedah. You did not withhold. Right, so here it means velo chasach. Chasach means to withhold. To chasach means to take me out. You did not take me out. Okay, very good. So there is probably a very good place, and there probably in Bereish, but the Akedah is so popular to really delve into the etymology of this unusual usage. Choshech is to withhold. It's very bizarre how what the word really means, the etymology. In any event, I gotta tell you a joke, especially that I was waiting, but Malievsky wasn't here today and yesterday, so I want to say yesterday, but I told you this. I told you this joke many times, and don't take this personally.
Well, I take nothing.
And that is, in this Mizmar, my father told me this joke. I remember I told this to my Rise. I even remember where I told this to my Rise on the steps going up to Shir in Torah Vadas. I told him this joke, and he was laughing very hard. And what's the joke? In this Mizmar, it says the word Rav 3 times. You know, Rav means a rabbi.
Yeah.
Esav had a rabbi. You know, Esav says, Yeshli Rav.
Yeshli Rav.
Yeshli Rav. The word Rav is always a joke. So in this Mizmar, it says the word Rav 3 times. First it says, Hanechemadim Mizahav Umipaz Rav. It says that it's more precious. Hanechemadim, it's more precious Mizav gold, Umipaz, the most precious gold, the Rav. Do you like your rabbi? We love the rabbi. He's delicious. He's more precious than the best gold. Then it says, B'shamram, Ekev Rav. We're watching the rabbi's every step. His every move he makes. We're watching, and when he slips up, we got him. And then it says, at the end of the Mizmar, Vini Casey, let's get rid of, let's be cleansed from the Pesha, the wrongdoings of the Rav. Time for a new rabbi. Let's get rid of the rabbi. So this is the relationship of the Balabatim to the rabbi, the honeymoon. The honeymoon is, after he's elected, Hanechemadim, Mizav, Mipaz, Rav. And then when the honeymoon is over, the Shamram, Ekev Rav. And then when it's time to renew the contract, then we say, Vini Casey.
That's why it says right before the Aseret Sedibros, we're not founding men of Rav. That's the last line before the Aseret Sedibros. We're not following men of Rav.
The rabbi's in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so the word Rav is always always.
I always choke when I get to that pasuk.
Okay, now we come to the last pasuk. This pasuk is a very popular pasuk. Okay, this is a very beautiful pasuk, and obviously we say this pasuk numerous times, more than we can count. We say it at least three times. We say it at least three times. We probably say it a lot more. Some people even say it twice when they finish the Shemoneh Esrei. When they say Amavarech Hashem Yisrael Bashalom, they say Yehi L'Ratzon, and then they say Yehi L'Ratzon again at the end of the L'Kai Mitzar. Some do, some don't. Most people probably don't. But then you say it all over in davening as well. It's all over in the Nusach HaTzvila. By the way, I see on the screen here we have the Safta is back. The Safta is Rav Baruch Horowitz. And we want to wish him a Mazel Tov. He just participated in the wedding of his grandson. Is that correct? Grandson, I believe. So we wish you a Mazel Tov and continued nachas from the Chasen Kala and from all of your children and grandchildren. Mazel Tov. What do these words mean? Let's look over here at the mitzvah. Actually, I don't really find anything on the page itself that is. Bruchim, this is your grandson? This is tell us.
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Granddaughter to what's the name? Which one of your children?
The Yoni Bestritzer from Toronto.
Very nice. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Okay, let's see what it says in the Mitzvot. Let's read some words and then we'll talk some things. Mitzvot Davei, the basic Mefarshim, we always learn the Mitzvot Davei in Rashi.
Abba Shamashi says, somebody says Shmonesre.
Yeah.
And sometimes all kind of machshavot come to the mind. So Yul Ratzon, what I say in Refi, whatever I thought about my business, my this, Yul Ratzon Gamken. One of the Magidim says.
It's also be good. Like I told this joke, there's a joke that I heard this from Rabbi Reisman 100 years ago. It's on Shabbos. A guy comes to shul. Guy comes to shul. He's sitting in shul, and he comes in very late. And he puts on his tefillin, and then he starts just moving his lips very, very quickly. And then he gets up, and the rabbi's watching this fellow. The rabbi is just from the corner of his eyes, is noticing this person's erratic behavior. He comes in late, He puts on his talisman, like he's in a rush. He starts davening. He gets up, gets down. All of a sudden, he sees the rabbi that he takes 3 steps back. He starts davening Shemona Esrei, and he starts shuckling. And all of a sudden, while he's shuckling, he starts doing all these strange things with his hands. Then he takes out of his pocket a pack of cigarettes in the middle of Shemona Esrei. See, this is not so bad anymore. Today with the smartphones, it's a lot worse. But back in those days, there was no smartphones. He takes out from his pocket a pack of cigarettes. He takes out a cigarette. He puts it in his mouth. He doesn't light it. He doesn't look as a shul, he can't light. And then he puts it back in the case and puts it back in the pocket. And then he starts doing funny things, and then he takes his 3 steps back. And the rabbi already says, this is so bizarre. I got to ask this guy, what in the world is going on here? So he calls over the balabas and says, excuse me, sir, what in the world are you doing? He says, it's a disgrace. Your behavior is disgraceful in the sanctuary. So the balabas says, you know, rabbi, you're right. This is not how I normally behave. I'm just, my mind is elsewhere. I have to fly away today. I have to go away today, cross country. And I'm overwhelmed. So what could I do? I'm only a human being. I come to shul. It's just lip service today. And I'm thinking about my whole plans. And it's racing to my mind, my Seder Hayom. So I was davening, and I was after davening, the car service coming to pick me up, going to the airport. I had to go make a flight. I was standing before the person, the ticket, the what are they called? The ticket agent. And I was in my mind, I was telling her, you know, which flight I need, my back of the whole story. And then she says to me, smoking or non-smoking? The olden days, okay? The olden days when you can still smoking. So I was about to say smoking. But then I realized I'm in the middle of Shemona Esrei. I can't talk. So I took out of my pocket the cigarettes to show her smoking. I can't talk. So that's why I took out the cigarette, to show the agent smoking. Okay, he got a roar of laughter. Those were the days when he had over 1,000 people on the rise. Okay, now he said this joke in the height of his fame. The Reisman, the Sar Shabbos, were over, and the Olam was roaring in laughter. Do I remember the Chidushim he said that night? No. If I remember the joke. Okay. You know what the Magidim say is that.
I see conventions. I remember the jokes most.
Like, you know, they say. You know what they say? They say the Magidim. I heard this. I think our official Shachter said is that. You know, rabbis have a problem. How often can they recycle their Chidushei Torah? How often can they recycle? Because, you know, you can't go say the same drasha every week. You can't say the Vart. So when does it expire? People's minds, they forget. So they basically said, a joke, a good joke, it never expires. So you can only say the joke once. A story? That's a pretty good shelf life. A story lasts, a good story, you got to wait maybe 2 years, okay? What about a lum de shavart, a very tief lum de shavart, people don't understand anyway. You know, you got a year, it goes on. What's stam of art? You know, there's a stam of art. He says, I could say it 3 times in the same drasha.
You learn Hebrew in Chamayim, and I said one time, I'll throw it open to the audience. What do you want? Anything anybody wants to talk about, we'll do today. And so one man, Oliver Schultz, he said to me, Rabbi, I said, yes, what do you want? He said, can you repeat the speech from this morning? I fell asleep.
Woo! Wow! Wow! All right, so getting back to Yehila Rotsin number 3, Gagim Bilof Nachashem Shiva Goli. Let's see what's over here in the Mitzudais David. The Mitzudais David is on page 179. He doesn't even want to say anything. If you notice, the Mitzudais David on Tehillim, I shouldn't say that, but there are many psukim in Tehillim that he doesn't say very much. It's interesting. I wonder when he wrote all the parish of the Mitzudais in the whole Tanakh, there seems to be an inconsistency. Certain Sefarim that we have learned, the Mitzudais David was much more thorough, and until I find him to be much more concise. And in fact, he actually doesn't even comment on every single word. He leaves out things.
A lot of things, it's like, it's not written in
the Bible. Well, Mitzudais David is more modern, it's more recent.
Yeah, but that's the thing, but it's less get into because it's a human being.
I don't know. He has a lot of source material. He has a lot of things that he does. He does somehow his parish. He's quieter. He's not as elaborate as he is. And when we look at Treyasa, he was very comprehensive. I don't think he ever left out one word. And here you find often that he leaves out a lot of things. Any event, Yilaratzonim Refi, the Hegyon Libi. What is called Hegyon Libi? The Hegyon. Hegyon means thought. What is a computer is called a Mechashev.
Right.
Modern term, a computer. A Micha, there's an institute, an Eretz Yisrael, to make up new words. Rabbi Dr. Mitchell Orlean, Zecharon Livracha, he used to send in words. He loved this stuff. He used to actually send in words to this institute for new words. For new, it new right. There's a whole this institute. There must be some website where you go. A lot of words today, they're just English words. They don't even bother anymore. Right. New technology. They just use English words. And they say with an accent. So you know it sounds Hebrew, but it's just an English word. Although we'll change the elma. It's funny, actually funny, but there are some words that they are very, very creative, and unfortunately, the greatest sin that they are accountable for is electricity. That's a terrible, terrible sin. My worthless
right,
opinion is to use chashmal.
Right.
That to me is very disheartening. When Mashiach will come, he's going to erase that word from the vocabulary. I have no doubt about it. Chashmal is the most esoteric word describing the Shechina HaKadosha. It's a sacred word. I'm surprised it's not even a word that you're not allowed to say. It's like a word of Kodesh. It's a sacred, sacred word. You look at Yecheskel. We learned. We came to the word Chashmal. It's like the whole, you're blown away by some of the Mefarshim, what they say, what the word Chashmal means. So to take that word and use it for electricity, I get it. I fully get it. I, it's very obvious where it comes from, but it's sacred. You can't just do that. Okay. So a mechashev. This is a very funny word. A computer is called a mechashev. It thinks.
Machshev.
I'm so ignorant. I don't even know how to say the word. A machshev. Machshev. That's an insult to humanity. That's not a violation of sanctity. I'm not gonna. But come on, a computer you're going to call, it's a competition for man. A human being is a human being.
It's a replacement of Machshava.
It's an insult. I find that word to be an insult.
Why is it called Machshava?
To think. Lashon Machshava. Machshava, thoughts.
No, with a vase. I thought with a fake.
No. Mem ches. Machashava, to think. Machshava.
Or to calculate, because originally computers were.
To calculate. So, to me, that's an insult to humanity.
Or accountants, right?
So, my opinion is worthless beyond a shadow of doubt, but that these two words are just off the bat. So, over here, why am I saying this? Because over here, there are many words. There are many different words in Tanakh, synonyms for thinking, which is very important, which is very, 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 because that's what people do the whole day. People do the whole day, they think. So here, may it be l'ratzon, may it find favor, the words of my mouth, the hegyon libi, does not say the machashavos, the thoughts of my libi. The word hegyon has a flavor to it. I can't put my finger on it, I don't know what it means, but I just want to know.
That's from Hege.
Right, so that's what it says. Okay, right. Okay, hege means to think. But there are other words for thinking. There are many words for thinking. And here we're using this very specific word. In the Mitzvah stuff, it says, hege libi gam machashavos libi mashal shaloi ucha lohitzi bapeh. So he's saying over here, he's alluding to something very deep. He's trying to say the word hegyon represents a feeling of the, not a feeling, he says libi, my heart, so it's an emotion, which you do not have the vocabulary to express. Now, does that mean there is no vocabulary? Or does that mean that there is, it's just that a person, not every person, is sophisticated enough to express himself properly? Okay, there are people that are very sophisticated. It's just, it's a certain talent. There's a certain, this pair Shabbos, I was talking to this song that every Shalosh Shuris, I sit with in Shul, in Shtibel, his name is Binyamin Levitz. Binyamin Levitz is Rabbi Yaakov Levitz's son, who passed away from Corona about a year ago, year and a half ago. And I know him from time immemorial. And Kenai Nahara, all of Rabbi Levitz's children are geniuses, and this one really is over the top. He's a genius. He took over his, he ran his father's business for the last couple of years anyway. He ran the whole business and he runs it now, and he is a Baal Kriya par excellence. I mean, this and it's really, really scary. This person, he doesn't prepare anymore. He told me he hasn't prepared in 15 years already. I mean, probably halacha, you have to look it over. He'll never ever make a mistake. He's fluent. Like, it just comes out of him, and he knows it. It's like that. When he says it, he knows all the mafarshim. It's really scary. So I asked him, I don't understand it. How do you do this? So he's very humble. He says to me, I'm telling you, it's not because I'm smart. It's just my brain is wired in a certain way. That this is just very natural. It's just, this particular thing, it's just natural. It's not because, it's a gift. It's a gift, this type of thing. It's a gift. He's just able, language, like he likes languages. He studies languages. This type of thing, it's just very easy with him. So there are people like that who have a talent of communication, of dibur. Communication, they have the words. They have all the words in their mind. They're able to bring forth an emotion in words. People like me, someone like that, I can't do it. I don't have that. I can't do it. And many people don't. But here's the dilemma I'm presenting you. If a person would work hard enough and would be educated to learn the language, to learn all the possible ways, does that mean he would then succeed in fulfilling what it says here, Hegyon Libi Lefonecha? Or is there such a reality in this world that even the most brilliant, most educated person, who is a master in every language of this world, there are still expressions and emotions deep down in the person's psyche that can never be fully expressed in words? That's my dilemma to you. Person has feelings. You express your feelings the best that you can. If you can't express it, guess what? You can look at Tehillim. Tehillim, David did it already for you. David did it for you already. Any machshava that a person has in his life, any emotion, study Tehillim, you'll find it there. It'll be the perfect words to bring out what you're trying to say. David did it for you already. Is that Taka the Pshat? But on the other hand, look what David himself says. David wrote the pasuk. And David says, Yilu rotzon nimrefi. But David is saying, guess what? Even I, who wrote the book, I am the Noim Zeniros Yisrael. I'm the poet of Klal Yisrael. Even I am limited. There are things that even I cannot master, feelings that I am unable to express. Now, this is a big topic of discussion when it comes to the pasuk of Vayizachu Bnei Yisrael El Hashem Minho Avoida Vayishma Elokim. So Rabbi Yisrael, what does the whole pasuk there say? Then Paro, so it says that Vayizaku, Vatal Shava Samelukim Minhu Avoida. So it says Vayizaku, Vatal Shava Samelukim. There are two words. So there are two different words. So many of the commentators there on that pasuk, you have to go study very well. They write that the expression of Zaaka and Shava Sam, I don't have the details, does not necessarily mean they opened up a siddur. And they started davening, and they started praying.
Right.
It means they groaned. They groaned. Or it was in their mind. And it was those expressions, those emotions that expressed themselves in their body language, maybe, or in their frustration, in their mind, or maybe very, very innocent sounds, that is what went up to Hashem. When someone says oyvei,
it says vayeda elokim means what the Avraham Avinu makes a point of saying on that pasuk is that they finally prayed, not to, you know, you say, somebody help me. They didn't say, somebody help me. They prayed to God. Now God knew, oh, they're praying to me. Now it's time.
Exactly. Look, this is what we do on Rosh Hashanah. This is all the Hasidic Torah on Rosh Hashanah. Baba. What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? What do we blow? We blow the shofar. What is the shofar? Morse code. It is just the purest sound. Why are we blowing sound? Why we have eloquent nusach atzvila? Hinei kachoy mebiyat hayotzer. We have in kitzva. We have all the psukim. We have what to say. Yes, you have what to say. But after everything is said and done, what we are doing by blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is this pasuk. Imrei fi, yeah, we're in the shul the whole day or for a very long time, and you have a lot what to say in the siddur. The siddur machzah is pretty thick, no? It's a pretty thick machzah. There's plenty what to say imrei fi, but guess what? When everything is said and done, even Chazal and even David failed to really give us the words to bring out what we really want to say. We're limited. Our communication skills are limited when everything is said and done. And we ask Hashem, listen to the Hegyon Libi. And the Hegyon Libi is captured in just a simple sound coming out of the shofar. That little sound captures the Hegyon Libi. There's the Imrei Fi, and there's the Hegyon Libi. And David is asking, may both of these be liratzayim. May they be liratzayim. And then he concludes, Hashem Tzuv Goli.
He was able to, when he gave his 3-hour
the great communicator.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
You really felt what he was saying. You walked out of there.
It's very rare you have a person that has that talent. Of Yashiver Soloveitchik, definitely, absolutely. And Rav Hutner, I never saw Rav Hutner way before my time. I never saw him. I always wondered why his students. So I grew up in the shadow of his students. Okay, that now all of his talmidim, unfortunately, they're retired. They passed away. They're very, very old. They're not really active anymore. Now it's like his grandchildren's students. but what did he do to me? Like how did he? He had such influence. I never understood it until one day I was in the car, and the yeshiva at that point, I don't know, they gave out, or someone that the new technology got better, they took tapes. Oh, there aren't so many of them. Tapes, recordings, and they put it on CD, and they sold it, so-and-so sold it. I bought it for a dollar, I put it into the car, it was a Purimimer, and I listened to it. It must have been 45 minutes, and after 45 minutes, and I really felt like my mind was being like hypnotized. And there was a very powerful charisma in his voice and in his expression. And I said to myself, wow, if this can happen to me, listening to a not clear recording of 45 minutes, can you imagine what it was like for students who were sitting in front of me?
I thought you don't understand Yiddish. You spoke in Yiddish.
I was able to understand it. Believe it or not, I was able to understand it. I was able to understand. It wasn't such a complicated Yiddish. And the concepts I was familiar with, but it was an entirely different world when I heard him say it. And I remember thinking to myself at that time, if this is what can happen to me when I'm sitting in a car, when I'm driving, and I'm just, and I'm listening to a recording that's not so unclear, and it can have such an effect on me. Can you imagine what it must have been like for real to be in his presence and to hear him talk? Then I got an appreciation of how he was able to create a whole collection of Talmidim that were extremely loyal to him. It's an amazing thing. In any event, you have over here two completely different concepts. You have the koyach of communication, which Yechidim, only Yechidim have. Who has this koich of communication, this koich of Imrei Fi, the ability to bring out what you're really trying to say, Imrei Fi, and the Hegyon Libi. Hegyon Libi are things that you cannot express, emotions that are deep, deep down. Lifonecha. Now comes the finale of the Mizmar. Hashem, you are Tsuri, my rock. What does that mean? This is the all the goyim who say you're my rock. Yeah, this is a very popular expression in the Goyish world. It comes from David. It comes from David. No question about it. They stole it right out of this pasuk. David is the one who taught us this principle. There's something called that you are my rock. What does that mean exactly? You are my rock. This needs.
By the way, Hashem Tsuri, Tsu has different meanings. Is my rock and my yotzer.
Oh, you're saying a whole loop shot. My guardian.
Yotzer.
So you're saying a lot of deep things now.
Many ideas.
The Goyim just don't know one word.
They thinks everything.
Everything. There are many, Rav Kalman is saying the word Tsuri has many shoroshim. Yoitzer. You are my creator. The word Tsuri is also of a notzer. Notzer means nitzira, to guard. And the way we typically, the most popular translation is Tsuri means a rock. Now what does that mean? You're my rock. You're my strength. So we typically like to think that there's no element in this world that's stronger than a rock. It's not really true. You can smash a rock. There are things that are stronger. There are different types of rocks. Okay, there are different types of rocks. There are soft rocks.
So it means like steady or
enduring. It's enduring. Enduring. Human beings only last 120 years. Vegetation, an apple, how long does your estrog last? It lasts a couple of weeks and it shrivels, gone. Okay, grass doesn't even last that long. Nothing in this world sticks around. But rocks, you go out into the street and you find a rock. That rock has been around from the time of Maase Bereishis. Right? So we use it as a mashal, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's been around a long time. He's always been infinite. And he always will be around. And it's a metaphor. It's just an example. You know, for some reason, I can't speak for you, but it's not very satisfying. I don't know why. I don't really get a lot of satisfaction out of saying that Hashem is my rock. You hear Goyim talking about it. You hear like by the boyfriend, rock girlfriend age. Type of stuff. They say, oh, this girl, she's my rock. Or a woman says about her husband, he's my rock. When they talk about the relationships. What?
She gave me a nice rock.
She wants a big rock.
She wants a diamond ring. How many carats and a setting that costs even more?
Rock also means it's inflexible.
Ooh. Why do you say it's inflexible? Are you able to mold? Are you able to melt rock?
Yes. Yes. Lava.
Lava is rock. Everything has a melting point. Everyone has a melting point. I don't know. I cannot say. Where Rav Kalman said is much more satisfying. Rav Kalman said the word Tsuri is, we have to look inside the Mefarshim and see them in more detail, is really related to the word a guardian. Meloshon of a notzer. Or from the word a yoitzer, a creator. However, it's a little bit of a jump. It's quite a bit of gymnastics to go from the word Tsuri to trace it back, the etymology, to those other words. It's a little bit of a stretch, which, yeah, maybe it's not a stretch. You have to study the rules of grammar. Sur, Tzadi Resh. Tzar. In the Torah, Siyur. Okay, you're right, 100%. So 100%, there is a method, to trace the word back to, you are my creator, you are my yoitzer, or you are my guardian. Those translations seem to have more satisfaction. On the other hand, you cannot ignore that the typical translation, the typical usage would be a rock. Moshe Rabbeinu was, he hit the rock. The tsar, the rock.
We can see how important this passage is. We say it at the end of every Shema and Esther.
That's right. This is the possible, the truth is, this should really that is exactly what you think, because which mizmar is this? This is mizmar Yud Tes. How many brachas are there in Shemoneh Esrei? 19 or 18, and mizmar Aleph and Beis. That's the medrash on the bottom of the page. We'll read that in a few moments. That's exactly the reason. The reason why we say this mizmar at the end of Shemoneh Esrei is because this mizmar appears at the end. This pasuk. At the end of Shemoneh Esrei is because this pasuk is the end of the 19th/18th a mizmar in Tehillim. And that is an opening of Drusha Machshava, that each one of the first, each one of these 18/19 mizmarim that we have learned corresponds to the blessings that we recite every single day, three times a day. Okay, we'll read that in one moment. But let's first turn to the Mitzvah to start it. Yeah?
When they prayed in Israel, I think that there were big machlokes to put Hashem's name. This was, I think he said, sir, I don't know how it started.
Well, what did he say? What did he say? I understand.
They used the word sir.
Yeah.
Instead of Hashem.
What are you referring to? What are you referring to? For the Shlom HaMedina, yeah. So you don't want to say Hashem's name?
So for the atheists, and to satisfy like the religious, so they use the word Sur
Yisrael. All right, I'm not familiar with this. I'm not familiar with the details. Okay, Gaber, I'm not familiar with this. I'm sure it's very interesting, but a lot of chachma. In any event, let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos stuff, it says, that's a very interesting translation. A very powerful idea is being said there. The Mitzudos stuff, it is very profound. Don't underestimate the Mitzudos. He seems to be innocent, very simple. He sometimes says the most profound the ideas in a very few words. Gam hema, may they also be yehu l'ratzon l'fonecha, may they also be l'ratzon. And then Hashem Shuvu Goldina, I want to suggest to you, and maybe this is based upon what we just said, that there are two different ideas being expressed here, Imrei Fi and Hegyon Libi, and then it concludes with Tsuri V'Goali. There's a parallelism, which is extremely common in Tehillim and Nach. And thus, the word Tsuri relates to Imrei Fi, and the word Goali is the Hegyon. So, in a way, there, if you match them up, if there's a parallel, Imrei Fi corresponds to Tsuri, and Hegyoin, thoughts, refers to redemption, Geula. Now, if there is truth to this parallelism, it opens up a whole new world of commentary. Let's talk about Pesach. Pesach, we're coming now to Pesach. Pesach is the man Geula. What is Geula? What is Geula? Redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is I'm locked up in jail, right? A person is incarcerated, and you want to get out. Oh, I've been redeemed. Is that the word? Is that really what gula is? We have really, in fact, four lashonos: v'yotzesi, v'yitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti. What's the difference? What exactly is the difference between all four expressions? Okay, so you can say whatever you want to say. All I'm trying to say is this pasuk is part of the equation. Because this pasuk, we're matching up geula to, can't ignore that there's a parallelism. There's Imrei Fi and there's Hegyon Libi. And then Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. This is a rule. This is a rule. You're allowed to do this. There's parallelism. In fact, Rabbi Orlian, he actually did this on many Svarim. He actually, I don't know where I have it at home. I must have it somewhere. He never printed it as a formal book, but he made it into a pamphlet. And he told me there is no equivalent of this anywhere. He never, all the years of teaching, over 50 years teaching in Yeshiva University, teaching Tanakh in Diktuk, he never came across this, what he did. And that basically is, he went through a chunk of Tanakh, and he showed you, like, their rules. A, B, A, B. A, B, C, A, B, C. A, B, C, C, B, A. Take every single pasuk. Many, many pasukim are like this. You have ideas expressed, and there's repetition. Obviously, the Mepharshim say this. They all say this in different words, in different times. Like in this pasuk, he would call this. He had these rules. He would call this A B A B. A is Imrei Fi, Hegyon Libi is B. The end of the pasuk, it says Hashem Tsuri. Tsuri is A. The Gali is B. So this pasuk, you would summarize A B A B. Then you can find another pasuk, you'll find ABC, ABC, or ABCC, or ABC. I mean, there's a whole different set. When you know Tanakh inside out, and you go through it again and again and again, you begin to see things, you begin to see patterns. of style and writing. And of course, it's subject to interpretation. Okay, so the rules that Rashi may follow may be different than the rules that other commentators will follow. Maybe you'll tell me over here that the rule is A, B, B, A. You go backwards. Let's match up Tsui to Hegel Libi and Gali to Imrei Fi. Right? You can play it the way however you want to play it. But after you go through enough psukim in Tanakh, and you begin to see patterns. And it's unreasonable to say that this is going to be an exception. And if you don't understand it, it's your problem. You dig down deeper to find more depth, of what the pasuk really means. So if you were to follow that rule here, you would say the standard rule, A, B, A, B, that is teaching you a magnificent concept of what Geula is. Geula is in the mind.
Right.
It's in the mind. The greatest, the greatest prisoner is to be the worst prisoner.
That's the poem, walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage.
You're prisoner of your mind. Okay, that's what most people suffer from in this world. Kleina hasagis. Or you just set into, you're not willing, ein chovosh mater atzma mi beisu asurim. A person, he digs his own, he digs himself into his own hole, and he just can't get out of it. He can't see the big picture. He can't release himself. The ultimate prisoner is to be a prisoner of the mind. No one's shackling you down. No one's holding you back. You live in a free world, a free country. You're blessed to live in a free country. Unlimited opportunities. What you want to do, and you don't want. Why don't you want? Of all the excuses, because you're a prisoner of your own mind. And you need professional help. And you go to a psychologist. You go to a psychiatrist. Medication sometimes can open up the mind. And sometimes you can go to very common, people say this very common, you go to a not the right, you need a shidduch. Go to the wrong psychologist, he'll make you even a bigger prisoner. He can make it worse. Very dangerous to go to a they're very talented, these people. Professional psychologists, they're very talented, some of them. The ones who have a natural niche for this, they know how to play with your mind. And they're very dangerous. Because if they don't succeed, they can make it even worse. They can push you into it. They can push you in
the wrong direction.
Can't think you have a stuffed toilet.
Well, that's interesting because that gives a good tie to Chisha Vesakets. Because once Avraham was given the Bris Bein Absarim, he was a prisoner in his own mind because he knew that the end result, they were going into Golos. At that point in time, that was the beginning of his sentence, even though he wasn't officially in Golos, but he was a prisoner of the mind.
Prisoner of the mind. Here it says the Geula is related to the Hegyon Libi. A person has Daigis in his mind. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is my Goel. You're taking me out of the Hegyon Libi. Hegyon, we discuss, what is the word Hegyon versus the word Machshava? Hegyon is a different flavor. It's not just a plan, a thought, a desire. There's something much deeper going on. There's some turmoil. There's some frustration. There's some type of... a person is lost in the deep recesses of his subconscious. He needs to be pulled out. He needs geula. The geula is in the mind. Imrei Fi is something more tangible. Something tangible. Words that come out of your mouth. This is concrete. You're being recorded. For purposes of training, everyone go call off a service, your conversation is being recorded. That's Tsui, you're my rock. A rock is the ultimate dover gashmi. It's not the mind. Listen, is the door open or not? Is the door locked or the door not locked? It's physical. A rock is a domain, okay? A human being is a little bit spiritual. A chai, an animal, is also... A blade of grass, you know, it withers. A rock is a dover gashmi. Words are concrete. What did you say? What do you want? You go to the store. If you're not going to tell them that you want to buy a loaf of bread, what are you doing here? We'll call the police. You're loitering here. Get out of here. Talk. Speak. What do you want? Say something concrete so we know exactly what you want. Express yourself. Imrei Fi is something precise. For that, Hashem delivers very precise physical results. What do you want? I want bread? Here's a piece of bread. You want some tuna fish? Here's a tuna fish. I want a steak? Here's a steak. You want a fancy house? There you go. Hashem Tzuri, Hashem delivers the gashmias. I want the goods. I want the goods. I want to see green. Mark, behind you is, I saw this yesterday. You see, Mark is the nephew of our Meir Zlatowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And Art Scroll achieved one of the most incredible conclusions of their project. They finished the Art Scroll Yerushalmi. Art Yerushalmi was the pride and joy. The pride and joy of Art Scroll. But Meir Zlatowitz says that the crowning achievement of the Art Scroll, it was the Yerushalmi. He said, the Bavli, someone would have come along and done it. Not for me. Yerushalmi is the crowning achievement. So they just finished the entire Yerushalmi. So they had a beautiful write-up in Mishpacha magazine last week about it. And my favorite line there is, what color is the Yerushalmi? Green. So one of the Talmid HaChamah says, I love to see the green. I love it when I see green. I love it when I see green, which normally means cash. No, the real commodity is the Yerushalmi. I love it when I see the green. The Yerushalmi is green. So I'm looking at you and I see behind you green. You're sitting right behind the Talmud Yerushalmi. Didn't you notice that? No, it's green. There's green. There's blue, right? I can't even see over here. There's green top.
Ivrit,
yeah?
Yeah, I started going through it. My brother-in-law left it. I mean, he didn't take it there. It's Israel. It's a gorgeous set.
All right, so he looked a little bit Hashem, so therefore.
Would it be right to say that Himrik Fi is the regular tefillah that we daven every single day? And now, a lot of times, you know, you might not necessarily connect with the regular tefillah. You might think it's not nogeya to you or whatever. But there is a standard tefillah that we daven every single day. And the Hegel Libi is your personal request.
Okay.
Yes, your own tefillahs.
Yes, I in Panam Mutar, there are obviously many, many Purushim as to what this means. Okay, now before we finish this Mizmar. Yeah.
I thought it's curious. We say this pasuk at the end of Shmoneh Esrei.
Yes.
Seems to me it should be at the beginning.
So let's see what it says in Chazal. You're saying very good. Look what it says. Look, you.
I should be able to express myself. Now that I've expressed myself, I hope you accept my words.
Okay, look, you asked the question of the Gemara. Look at the bottom of the page.
That's in the Gemara.
Look at the bottom of the page, the Likutei Shas, the bottom of the page 178. Yilu etzin emreifil vegil milufin achashem tzurigoli. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, batechila, lifnei shmoyne esrei. Look what it says, batechila. Exactly what you said, Mark. This should be the instead of saying Hashem sefasai tiftach lufi agiti losecha, we should really say Yihyu. What I'm about to say now, the words that I'm about to express now in the shmoyne esrei, may Yihyu lerotzanim emreifil vegil milufinacha Hashem tzurigoli. You are absolutely correct. And that's exactly what it says in the Gemara. This pasuk should be said before you begin the Shmoneh Esrei. The very bottom of the page. You wrote an Omar Rabbi Yoichanan, Batechila. What does Batechila mean? In the beginning of the Shmoneh Esrei, before the editor adds, Lefnei Tefillah Shmoneh Esrei, Omer you say, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, let's read the next chazal and we'll come back and we'll explain.
Let's see. If you have that machshava, this is the reason.
Let's see with the next chazal. Demar Rabbi Ze'era B'Shem Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiya. Shalosh Tekifais. This is another important chazal. We'll come back to what you said in a moment. There are three Tekifais, which means Devarim Shetzorach La'aseis Tekev L'mitzvah. There are three principles in chazal where we do not allow a delay. It must be done in rapid succession. What are they? Hey, number one is Tekev L'smicha Shchita. Okay, that's one halacha that when you offer a sacrifice, before you offer the sacrifice, you must do smicha. You must rest your hands upon the animal and confess. Immediately after the smicha, you do shechita. The Gemara makes a drasha, right. Structs the post. Number two, tekef l'netilas yodayim baracha. No delay. when you say al nitilas yodayim, or I made a mistake, I'm sorry, when you wash your hands, I'm sorry. When you wash your hands, right after you wash your hands, you make the bracha asher kedushon b'mitzvah v'tzvah al nitilas yodayim. Okay, immediately. In fact, ideally a person should not dry your hands first. The proper way to wash is when your hands are still wet.
Well, that's what the bracha says.
When it's still wet, you wash your hands, and before you dry them, you right away make the bracha, and then you dry your hands.
Right.
That's the proper way to do it. Take if l'netilas yodayim bracha. And now comes what we do every single day. Soimech geula litfila. You soimech when you the geula, baruch ato Hashem, go'al Yisrael, Hashem sefasai tiftach ufiyah giti l'secha. No delay whatsoever. In fact, that is why you don't answer, one of those people who do not answer Amen. When the Shliach Tzibur says, Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael, ideally, well, there are different, you do not answer Amen. You do not answer Amen because that would be a hefsek. The answering of Amen Kel Melech Lemon would be a hefsek between Ge'ula Litfila. The Ge'ula must be immediately followed by Hashem Sefer Saitiv at the beginning of the Shemana Esrei, and therefore how do you avoid not answering Amen? Everyone knows you're supposed to say it along. Finish off together with the Shliach Tzivu, so therefore you're not even allowed to answer Amen in that situation. And now what does it mean?
Let's. I heard Rabbi who said that Shliach Tzivu should say it loud.
Of course, exactly.
Because some people,
they
are not davening, they are there. So they can answer Amen.
Right. The Mishnah Berurah says, I think the Mishnah Berurah brings down two minhagim. The two minhagim, 1 minute is the Shliach Tzibur should say it loud, and it is the problem of the people should say along, the people in the audience who are diving along should say it along with the Shliach Tzibur.
Right.
And the other opinion, the other opinion is that no, the Shliach Tzibur should actually not, just like, when it comes to the end of the bracha, he should tone down, in order not to create a problem for the people that are not saying along with him. The people who come late, we don't care about them. They don't cater. Nusach HaTfilah is not catered to people who come late. There are people who are there, but not everyone is exactly together with the Shliach Tzibur at that moment. So the Shliach Tzibur is going to say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Go'al Yisrael. There can be people in the Tzibur who came on time, and are just a few words behind, they now have a problem. They're hearing a conclusion of a bracha, and they're not answering Amen.
Right.
So we don't want that. We don't want that. So there are two different minhagim. Take if...
So you don't have 10 people.
Then you don't have a minion then.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a different story, a different halacha. But let's go. How do you know this? How do you know this very critical halacha that take if l'gu'ula... It's this pasuk, because here it says the last words are Hashem Tzuri v'Goali Shenemar. You the words in the Marifi Hashem Tzuri v'Goali, and what's the next pasuk? The next mizmar begins Lamnatzeach mizmar l'David Ya'ancha Hashem b'Yoyim Tzara. Okay, so the diik is the next mizmar. The next mizmar begins May Hashem answer you on the day of Tzara.
Yeah.
And that is juxtaposed to the end of Mizmar Yutes, where it says, Imre Yifiv Hegen Libi Lefanech Hashem Tzui V'Goali. The Goali is the last word. We make believe with it because the Lamatzech Mizmar Ledov is just instructions for the conductor. That's not really part of the Mizmar in this understanding. And the next words are Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara. So you see that these two must be juxtaposed. Ma'ik Sebasrei Yan Hashem B'Yom Tzara. Now, this is not answering your question, Mark. Mark is asking a question, so really we should say this pasuk before. So there are two answers. Number one, we explained before, it's not over here. It's really going to be in the next chazal, but in the next chazal, the fact is, and we've said this before, that this pasuk is at the end of 19 mizmorim. And a mizmor, each of these 19 mizmorim correspond to the 19 blessings of Shemoneh Esrei. And if you'll tell me there are only 18 blessings, because Shemoneh Esrei means 18, not 19, so you are correct, because the first Mizmar and the second Mizmar in the understanding of Chazal is one. It's one Mizmar. For whatever the reason is, we in our Tehillim, we have broken it into two, but really it's one. So therefore, you go down from 19 to 18, and at the end of 18, it says, so therefore, we put it where it is presented. Eight at the end of 18. And secondly, what you're saying is very interesting, is that the fact that we do say it at the end is an indication that when David said this, David, it's even though it can be interpreted two ways. It can be interpreted, Hashem, what I will say in the future, I ask you in advance to pay close attention and accept. Or you can say that, Hashem, I've just spent 2 hours davening to you. Please consider what I said. Please consider. It's the past. Now, this is not the past. This is neutral. This pasuk is real, is neutral. May it be liratzon, imreifi, the words of my father, hegyon libi. I don't see here this being past tense or future tense. It's neutral. It's neutral. So, being that it's neutral and we need something at the end of davening to wrap it up, okay, to be the envelope, and we have plenty of other psukim that are written in the future tense. For example, Hashem, sefosai tiftach, ufi yagi tilosecha. That's the future tense. You're not going to say when davening is over, Hashem, open up my mouth. I'm going. Opening up my mouth means in the future. I'm about now to speak to you. Please give me the ability to express myself. So obviously, you have many psukim like that. which are in the future tense or capture an idea that much more relates to the future. So we have no shortage of those psukim. This pasuk, on the other hand, is neutral. And therefore, the way it's presented over here in Tehillim is a reflection. Hashem, you know, I've spent a lot of time davening to you. Please consider what I said. Consider it. Imrei fi v'hegyon libi. That's Achda. Before we have to really go to the next, but before there are a few more things. There's one thing. Rabbi Chol, you here? Is Rabbi Chol in the house?
The service man came.
Oh no, he's not here. This is something that's really
here.
Fair.
Okay. I am here.
Okay. So we're gonna finish off now.
I don't have your safer, so.
Okay, oh that's fine. Okay. But I want to move on tomorrow to the next Mizmar, because there are unfortunately many things that we did not get to discuss, but there's one thing that I cannot go forward without learning. Page 175. This is really amazing. Amazing. And this is something you learn this, you understand. I told you this about Hasidim. Hasidim don't learn. They don't learn Nach. They don't learn it. They have it. They have something against it. Okay, not a Hasidim against it.
Maskilim.
It's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. And that's another thing. That's another element. Here he said this because the Tzionim, they excel in Tanakh. But it goes deeper than that. I really understand it. And who is probably the most powerful commentator on Nach? The Radak. Okay, the Radak is not the first thing to learn. The Radak, the first thing you learn is Mitsudos and Rashi. That's the tradition. For the last 200 years, that's what people have been learning. The Mitsudos and Rashi. The Mitsudos was a master. He conquered everything. And he really distilled it. Rashi is Rashi. Rashi is gold. No one's gonna Targum. Unfortunately, we discount the value. I'm a very great sinner in this because I'm just lazy. Targum is gold. After you have the basic Mefarshim, what comes next? There's no question about this. The Radak. The Radak. He wrote the book. I mean, he wrote the rules of Diktok. All the rules that we live with today of Diktok are presented by the Radak. Rav David Kimchi. He's where it all starts. He selects the midrashim that are the most relevant. He has a very powerful koyach. And he does things like I'm about to read to you now, which create a very big problem for some people. Let me read what it says. The pasuk, we have to read this. We have to spend some few minutes on this. One page, 175. He's going back on the pasuk. Oymed esla. It's a very, very important pasuk. Yiras Hashem tohoira oymed esla. Page 172. Okay, we got this very quickly. Page 172 and 174. The pasuk, the yiras Hashem is tohoira, pure. Oymedes lo'at. It stands forever. It is enduring forever. Radak, On page 175, let me read you what he says. Page 175, and Michal, you don't have it, I'll just read it. The Omar, but Michal, you have a radak in front of you maybe? You must have a radak in front of you. In the middle of the radak, the Omar, Imedes Load, ki yesh mitzvay sheyesh lechem mokay muzman. There are mitzvahs which have a time and place. The advarim shem b'yiras Hashem, but yiras shemayim have no time and place. When you do a mitzvah, matzah is only done the night of Pesach. V'zehu, that's it. Lulav and Esrog. You do lulav and Esrog on Sukkot. When do you eat donuts? Only on Chanukah. You don't eat donuts today. It's not good for you. You only do things on a very set time. But Yira Shemayim, there's no time. Yira Shemayim is all encompassing. It's a very basic yisoid, right? This is a beautiful yisoid. Advarim shem b'yiras Hashemim omdim lo'ad. Ein lochem zman. Oy. Now let me give you. If the Hasidim would end right here, they'd be very, very happy. They would learn Tanakh. But the Radak does this quite a bit. And this is what they get very nervous about, and they're afraid of exposing little children to this until they become mature. And by the time they're adults, they're already working and they don't have time to learn anyway. So it's not okay. Oh, Omer, Omedes Lo'ad, Al Kol HaTorah, Shloit Siva Kelbo Lizman, Elo Ad L'Olme Ad Hi, Ad L'Olme Ad Hi. Torah is, it is forever. There is no, it's one of the animamins. Is Shaloi Tehe Torah Azos Mukhlefes. One of the 13 animamims is that the Torah never expires. Hashem will never replace the Jewish people with another chosen nation. And here he goes. Veloi Kidivrei HaKoifrim HaNoitrim. Christianity. What does Christianity propose? That Hashem has canceled Klal Yisrael. Has been canceled. Hashem shut down our Facebook account, our Twitter account, and has replaced us with them, the new, whatever they call themselves. The loy kedivrei hakoyfrim hanoitzrim sheoimrim who say ki hatorah shenitna b'har Sinai hoyo lo zman ad bo Yeshu. Okay, look what he says over here. Until Yeshu come along, straight out. Okay, no, he doesn't hold back. Okay. Ki ad zamanoi, hoy so gufonis. Because until they want to say that Torah was gufonis, which means it's limited. It's a davar gashmi. Any davar gashmi eventually withers away. Everything that's gashmi is wood, even stone. Everything comes a point in time when it becomes bottle. Torah, they hold that Torah was not is not spiritual to the degree where it's eternal. Shabahu, and when he came along, this koifer called Yeshu, who tziva lahavin oisar ruchanis, Yeshu gave a command: don't interpret the Torah literally. When it says Shabbos, Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. It says tefillin. These are concepts. It's not true. Torah, I'm explaining it correctly. Torah is goof. Torah penetrates into the goof to do the mitzvahs of the Torah endure forever. What did Yeshu do? He canceled all the mitzvahs. And he came up with his own crazy ideas.
Well, it wasn't him that did it.
Right, that's what he means. He just means over here, he means over here, he's the poster child. He's the poster child of a whole collection of kofrim who are looking for trouble. So, and Mela, the mitzvahs, don't take the mitzvahs literally. They're not meant to be understood literally. They're just to be understood figuratively, the mitzvahs. The Radak says the words of Yeshu and all those that followed him are words of empty the wind, emptiness.
As my Rebbe translated the word hello, baloney.
Baloney. Ki ha mitzvahs sheheim oimim shem bederech mashal shem merma lo yuvnu kimashmam. It's not to be understood. I'm not sure I understand how to translate every single word. We'll just read the words quickly. Harei tziva Hashem aleihem b'feirush v'lo al derech mashal. Don't say like what they say, that everything is just an example. The mitzvahs have to be done. You must observe Shabbos. You must wear tefillin. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher. Arayos is Osir. Gezel, guess what? You're not allowed to steal. Okay, the Christians are not allowed to steal. The whole Torah does. You know, the same way the Christians say you don't have to observe Shabbos. You're allowed to steal. You're allowed to murder. Do whatever you want. You know, by them, everything is a joke. Im kein shor hamitzvos lo yovin adam oisam al derech mashal kim ki mashman. I'm just reading the words. I don't even know what I'm saying over here, but again, basic gist. Ki im hayu hamitzvos al derech mashal, hayu hamitzvos b'sofek, ze oimer adover nistar boy kach hu ze oimer kach hu. Just all mishmash. The akos of oimer ki the Torah says explicitly ki hamitzvah hazois asher anochi mitzav chayom loy niflesa mimcha. It is not wondrous. The word nifles means separated. Hashem hiflo eschem. We had this in Tillim. It's not removed from you. It's practical. Wouldn't be true. And therefore, that's what it means over here in this pasuk, Yiras Hashem Tohoiro Oimedes Lo'ad, an outright rejection of the theology of Christianity. Christianity here is being knocked out in two words, Oimedes Lo'ad. This is what the Radak says. He doesn't spare words. He says this. And this is very basic, right? Everyone should know this. Correct? Every child should know this. Unfortunately, children, we live in Golas. They're subbing to the Hasidim what they say. They get very nervous because we live in Golas. We unfortunately, look, in America, intermarriage is a very big thing. When you expose people to too much and they're not yet ready to absorb what they really need to know, doesn't always work out well for everyone. Different strokes for different folks. Things like this get people nervous. Certain types of people. Other people, they gobble this up. They relish this type of stuff. And obviously, the Litvish Olam, Tanakh is a big deal. It's a big deal, Tanakh. Today, more so than that, much more so today. Well, how do you know this? Come with me to Begalize and I'll show you how many Svarim are coming out on Nach like never before. Rapid success.
How many women are learning not now?
Women are, but men also. Not only women, men also.
Right, but that, you know, like my wife and
Nachyomi, Nachyomi, that Nachyomi, the OU, the radio, they're on their third cycle already. Nachyomi, it's an incredible thing. And even by the people that are not part of the Machane OU, there are different Machanes in Klal Yisrael. Come with me to Begalize, and I'll show you how many. Oh, look at this book itself. You know how much this costs article to make? Whoever made a book like this, unbelievable, and the whole thing like this, the mamash jumps off the page, which is yoifi. It's a thing. By the Litvish Olam, the Hasidim definitely more than ever before, no doubt about it. But when you study Tanakh more and more, you don't agree with them. You're not part of that machne, but sometimes every once in a while, okay, I respectfully disagree. Instead of disrespectfully disagree, you change over from a disrespectful disagreement to a respectful disagreement. This
well, it took it a long time to even catch up to the idea of learning Gemara. That used to be the accusation. You know, they were not focused on that. There were no such things as Chassidish Kolels and stuff.
Right.
So that changed.
That changed. Someone who knows very well, it's part of Sam. When he told me that the Satner Rav, he held that the day after you get married, the boy gets married, 18 years, you get a job. They literally had to beg him, the Satner Rav, to beg him that, you know, in America, it might not be such a good idea for the 18-year-old boys, when the day after they get married, to go to work. And they mamish had to beg him. One, maybe you should, you know, you should institute that they should learn for 1 year before they go to work. They're only 18 years old. Parents will help them out a little bit. 1 year before you send them out to work, wait until they're 19 to send them out to work. The Blitzvahs don't even get married until they're 21, 22, 23. But the Hasidim, they married at 18 years old. And he held, the day after you get married, you go to work. And they told the Sadmer Rav, they had to go, Rav Yoyo. He wanted them to go to work the day after they get married. And they worked on him. They told him, you know, it's a very dangerous world out there for these 18-year-olds. They're not really ready for this. Maybe they should learn in Kol for 1 year. And he gave in after persuasion. like Rabbi Chol is saying. Yeah, very different. Very different.
I heard that he did it because in the beginning there was just drain zecharum there and they didn't know what to do. So he said, "Why are you hanging out? You
know, go to work."
Go work.
All right, okay. Yeah. It took a lot of time, but today everything's a big mishmash. Obviously, today all the litvaks are chassidim and all the chassidim are litvaks, and everyone became a svardi. Also today the svardim have enormous prominence, and everyone today. We live in America, the global melting pot, the global village. And we've all taken from one another, Baruch Hashem. It's good, you know, it's good and not good. It's good and not good. There's something to maintaining your tradition. But on the other hand, there's a beauty. There's a very big beauty in being knowledgeable and taking the milus that everyone has to create a shlemus. All right, this Radak, Amachol, no, this is off the charts. This Radak, he says the way it is.
Nice.
All right. Okay, let's take a short break. We'll do some in Yoni Pesach.